getting to the next installment of our devoted life. Are you ready? Let me pray for us. Holy Spirit, thank you for your word. Thank you, Jesus, that you were the word that came flesh, but also, Lord, that you have given us and empowered us to be able to walk with you. Thank you, Lord, that you are risen, that we can know you, we can enjoy you, we can experience you, we can just embrace all that you have for us, Lord. And even as I share right now, Lord, Holy Spirit, would you empower the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts, may it be pleasing to your sight. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. So friends, today, well, like I said, we're doing this little short mini-series. We're going to be repeating or coming back to the series around the devoted life. Again, when we have Pentecost Sunday, we'll have a few sessions of that, and again later on in the year. Because I don't know about you, but all of us can and should be wanting to grow in our devotion to Jesus. And today is Resurrection Sunday. It is the moment that you and I have to celebrate not only that Jesus paid the price for us, but the fact that you and I can be here is because Jesus is risen. If it wasn't for the resurrection, we would not have any faith. We would be dead. Because every other religious organization, if you go to the tomb of Muhammad, he's there. He's ill. He's in there. Buddha and whoever else you may want to think, if there were other Joseph Smiths and other people that have risen up over the years, you can find them. They're like there. But there is an empty tomb because Jesus is risen. And so many times, friends, we can take for granted just the beautiful, powerful aspect of that. But you and I need to realize that if we're going to grow in our awareness of God and live a more devoted life, it starts with the real revelation on an ongoing basis that we believe in a God that is alive. And He is risen indeed. And so as we gather together today, we are not just celebrating Jesus' death and paying the price as we just celebrated communion together, cleansing us from our sins, uniting us with God, but He's actually given us a new life. You and I can have a new life in Christ. That is a profound thought, friends. A life that is victorious, a life that is full in the fullness of what God has for us. Now, when I say those things, it does not mean that you and I are free from struggle or trials, or temptations, or things that I just go, Lord, I just don't understand why this is happening to me. Jesus asked those same questions, but He endured. For the joy set before Him, He endured the cross, because He knew He would unite you and I with Him, and we would have a relationship with Him. We would know that we would know that we would know that we can now walk with Him. I recently watched a little short little video on YouTube by, I think his name is Michael Hitchens. He's an atheist, profound, but he's got cancer right now. And they're talking to him, and he is belligerent. He is like convinced. He's like, if I die, you know, if I'm going to meet this God on the other side, I'm going to have to tell Him, like, listen, at least I held to my unbelief up until the end. So at least give me credit for that. And I'm thinking, my friend, there is a loving God that sent His Son, that has given us every aspect, every opportunity to be set free from the law of sin and death, that we could now live under His grace. And when we then enter into this new life, we can go to Him and say, Lord, thank you for saving me. And we and I have an opportunity to experience that life together. Now, when we think about the resurrection, Jesus overcame what you and I could not in our own strength overcome. What did He overcome? He overcame the law of sin and death. We see this in Galatians chapter 3, verse 10 to 14. It says, for all who rely on the works of the law are under a curse. For it is written, cursed be everyone who does not abide by all things written in the book of the law and do them. Now it is evident that no one is justified before God by the law, for the righteous shall live by faith. But the law is not of faith, rather the one who does them shall live by them. Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law by becoming a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is anyone or everyone who is hanged on a tree, so that in Christ Jesus the blessing of Abraham might come to the Gentiles, so that we might receive the promised Spirit through faith. Friends, this is like a profound passage. Paul is writing. He's helping us. See, I know over Passover, often we have people that are more and more, you know, they're embracing all sorts of Jewish roots expressions. You know, they want a Shabbat and they don't read Jesus, it's Yeshua. And I don't necessarily think that some of those things are necessarily bad or wrong. But when you and I want to replace the finished work of Jesus with added laws and little things we do, rituals we do, so I do this thing and I do this thing, and so therefore, because I've adhered to the law, I now am now made right before God, therefore I'm closer to God than everybody else, God accepts me more than he accepts someone else, then friends, we're missing the point. Then we haven't read the book of Galatians. If you've got some friends and family members that are into some of these things, ask them, read the book of Galatians. Because Paul, having fulfilled the law at every level, realized that it was not enough to save him. It's not enough. Because if any one of us, as it says here, would lean towards fulfilling the law in our own strength, we are accursed. We are under a curse. We cannot fulfill the righteous requirements. Jesus alone was able to fulfill the righteous requirements of the law. And he became that curse on our behalf. Friends, this isn't a powerful... I'm like, I hope you get this. You and I have been set free from that burden, the pressure, the weight that says, I must do. You and I have been set free from that. Jesus Christ has now redeemed us. He's lifted the curse from us. And he's not lifted it and said, okay, it's hanging over you. Okay, just wait until it falls back on you because you did something that you shouldn't have done or you didn't do what you should have done. It's like, no. We have been set free. We have been redeemed. We are no longer under the law, but we are now under grace. The grace of God is what empowers us, and that's what I want to speak to us today, that we can live in the freedom of God's grace. There is freedom in God's grace, friends. And as we know, grace does not give us a license to sin. It doesn't mean like, well, I don't have to obey any of Jesus' commands, because Jesus did give us some commands to obey. Obedience is a natural outflowing of our relationship with Him. But we are not required. That's not how we are saved. That's how we live a life that glorifies God. We don't seek to obey the law in order to be saved, but we obey the law because Christ has empowered us. He set us free from the law of sin and death. We are now under grace. So how do you and I access this empowering grace? Romans chapter 5, verse 2, it says, therefore, since we have been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Through Him, we have also obtained access by faith into this grace in which we stand, and we rejoice in hope of the glory of God. Friends, we access God's grace not by fulfilling the law, but we access it by faith. It is through faith. When we say, Romans also speaks about that, if anyone would confess with their mouth and believe in their heart that Jesus Christ is Lord, we will now become the righteousness of God. We will now be set free. It is by faith. We no longer live according to the law, but we now live by faith. And this faith is not something that even we can muster in ourselves. It's a gift of God. The disciples at so many points, they would say to Jesus, Jesus, Lord, increase our faith. If you're struggling to believe, like Mr. Higgins does, that God is good, that God loves you, that God pays the ultimate price, can I ask you and encourage you to ask God to increase your faith, to empower you and me to experience that? God's grace. You know, grace is an acronym. It says, God's riches at Christ's expense. Grace. You and I have access by grace, in grace, to all of God's riches, all of God's blessings. We have the blessings of Abraham, all that God has empowered him and promised to him. You and I have access to that by Christ's expense, his sacrifice. Friends, and you and I need to see grace. Grace is like a vast ocean. That it, you know, if you've been to the ocean, some of you are like, yeah, I've Margaret Berisier, it's Klerstorp, you know? Like, you've been there. You've seen the waves constantly, continuously crashing. They never stop. It's an image of God's grace towards you and me, washing over us over and over and over again. And God wants to invite you and me to say, can you step into the grace that I have made available to you? Can you allow my grace to wash over you? Can you allow the tide to rise in you, that you would walk in increasing measure, that you would experience my goodness, my mercy, my kindness? This is an invitation towards intimacy, friends. It is by grace that we can come into God's presence. You remember on the day Jesus was crucified, there was a moment where the curtain was torn. That curtain was torn from top to bottom. Many of you know this, but when the priest would go into the Holy of Holies once a year, that curtain separated man from being able to enter into God's presence. And the only way you could go in is if four men would need to lift the curtain for the priest to crawl into. They would hang a rope, tie a rope to his ankle and some bells so that they could hear him. If they heard he's not moving anymore, then he must have been struck dead. They would have to pull him out, because if they entered into, they would be struck dead as well. You could not enter God's presence if you had any iniquity or sin inside of you. If the priest had not fulfilled the law to the letter, he would not be able to walk into God's presence. That is the holy God that we serve. But Jesus comes. He fulfills the righteous requirements of the law. And then the curtain is torn from top to bottom, friends. Not from bottom to top. Not man saying, yes, I've got it. I've got 10 of my friends. We're going to rip this thing. No. God makes a way that we would enter into his grace and his presence. That's the joy we have access to, friends. Friends, this changes our perception. For the Israelites, they were slaves to sin. You and I, before we knew Jesus, we were slaves to sin. Forever wanting to be good, forever wanting to access God's goodness and grace, but we could not. But by the sacrifice of Christ, we have now become sons and daughters of God. We have access to his presence. Again, Romans chapter 8, verse 15 to 17. It says, "For you did not receive the spirit of slavery to fall back into fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption as sons and daughters, by whom we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. And if children, then heirs of God and fellow heirs with Christ, provided we suffer with him in order that we may also be glorified with him." What's Paul saying, friends? He's saying that you and I no longer operate out of fear. You know, a slave. Some of you are working at the moment in your workplaces. You understand that feeling of constantly being afraid of missing the mark. I'm going to do something wrong. There's going to be demerit points. Before I know it, there's going to be a disciplinary hearing, and I'm going to lose my job. And so at every turn, you're always worried. Some of you in your families, you're always walking on eggshells, hoping that perhaps that family member that can be just set off at any time, that you could just make sure that you've pleased them and that they're happy with what's happening. Friends, God replaces that fear. That we don't come to God thinking he's got this axe over my head and he says at any point it's going to fall. But actually now we have become the righteousness of God. We are now no longer slaves, but we are sons and daughters, friends. That word, Abba, Father, it's like daddy. I was thinking about this while I was preparing, and till today, I don't know, when my brother and my sister and I, we talk about my dad, we don't say dad, I'm going to go to dad. We always say daddy. I mean, I'm 40 plus years old, I still call my dad daddy. Because I know I have access to him. Like, there's no barrier, there's no separation. He accepts me just as I am. I've done some stupid things in my life. He's saved me from many of them. Bailed me out, helped me out. But there's an access. That's what Abba means. That I can come to my Father without fear, without stress. You know that? The tension you sometimes feel in the home because dad's upset. I wanted to say, some of you ladies, you know, you set the tone in your home. Just want to maybe just put that one a freebie there. You really do set the tone. I want to ask us, friends, do we create an environment of faith or fear? In the same sense, when you think about coming to God, do you think, oh, I've got this list of things I haven't done. I don't know if I could come into his presence. I don't know if he's pleased with me. Because of what Jesus has done, we've been set free from slavery and fear. But we have now become sons and daughters of God. We are not just sons and daughters, but we are also heirs. You know, there's an inheritance that we have access to today as well as into the future. It's now and not yet. It's a beautiful reality, friends. That inheritance, I think many of us don't understand inheritance because half the time our parents and family members and the way the financial systems work, we often are not able to leave something behind for generations to come. But that's what we have access to. When you inherit something, sometimes they give you a prerequisite. Maybe if you're a child, they say if you reach a certain age, you can have access to this, or you must do this, you must do that. But in general, when you receive an inheritance, it's a gift. It's freely given because you bear the name that the person has set apart on the legal document. It's a legal document. You and I, when we come into Christ's presence, when we experience the resurrected Christ, we are heirs with Christ. Jesus is our brother, and we have access to everything he's won for us. Undeserved. Undeserved favor. That's what grace is, friends. And God wants us to shift in our thinking. I want to ask you, on Friday I spoke about having a chair, a place where you're sitting and praying, and when you have your time with God, or just wherever that may be. I want to ask you, as you come into that you would not come with fear, but that you would come with an expectation that God is there to lovingly embrace you. He may highlight some things that need to be changed, some things you need to confess, some things you need to like let go of and turn your back on. Those are realities. But that we would not come to him out of fear, wondering, is he going to, oh, my microwave broke, my kettle's not working, so it's God like chopping me, you know? No, God is pleased with you because he looks at us through the eyes of Jesus. And so when we think about slavery versus sonship, there are two aspects. There are ways. If you're thinking like a slave, you operate in fear. If you're thinking like a son or a daughter, you're operating in faith. Perfect love is what we experience because perfect love casts out all fear. 1 John 4 verse 18, it says, there is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear, for fear has to do with punishment, and whoever fears has not been perfected in love. We are confronted by this aspect, and I want to ask you, if you feel sometimes like fearful, you need to ask God, say, Lord, fill me with your love again. Let me experience your love and acceptance again. Let me not live in fear, but rather let me begin to walk in love. We are also confronted sometimes with discomfort, or sometimes others may call it judgment versus comfort. If you feel judgment over you, you are often wondering and waiting, is someone going to call me out on that? That one thing I haven't done yet. That one thing, I hope it's not brought up. Oh, I'm stressed. Versus the comfort of, no matter what I face, God is with me, and He's going to empower me to overcome those struggles I may have. When we embrace God's Father heart, His love, there is perfect love in the Father. And we receive comfort. You know that picture? I don't know. I've seen Onke with little Yosha. Like, that boy, he can be around anybody. But there is a moment when he comes into this man's arms, when you can just check, I am secure, I can take on anybody, nothing stands in my way, because I'm with my dad. That's that security that you and I have when we're with God. There's a comfort zone that we can enter into. And so when you and I are experiencing slavery and fear, we've got to say, no, let me change my position. I'm placing myself in the arms of the Father. Friends, this is a big one. When we think like slaves, we are always thinking about performance. What have I done? What haven't I done? Have I done enough? Have I done too much? I'm just going to do enough. Many of us live like that in your Christian life. Well, if I look at it, you know, I did go to church a few times. I did read my Bible kind of every now and then. Some in the old days, they used to call it, you know, you go to church, it's like, going to church is part of your fire insurance. You know, it's like insurance policy. At least I paid my little bit, you know, so that if I need to, I can cash in. But that's not the life that God has for us. He doesn't want us to just pay your premium and hope for the best. Just, I hope I'm covered, eh? I hope it was enough. No, you and I have access to God's goodness and grace that empowers us. His grace empowers us to walk this out, Lord. Like, performance is all about the external. What do I say? What don't I say? What do I eat? What don't I eat? Do I work on this day? Don't I work on that day? Am I available? All of these external things are somehow ways in which we say, now I'm justified. Look at how I look on the outside. But Jesus spoke to the Pharisees and he says, you know what? You guys are washing the outside of the cup all the time. But God looks at the heart. What are you doing on the inside? And transformation on the inside only happens, friends, when we seek God's grace in our lives. We enter into that throne room of grace to obtain mercy and to find grace. There is what grace does for us, friends. It helps us to grow in our spiritual walk with God. When we think about grace, I want you to think, if grace is God's riches at Christ's expense, it means that it empowers us to expand. God doesn't want you and I to stay there where we are. You know, many people live their Christian life almost like they Christmas and Easter Christians. So Jesus, he existed. Great, I believe in Jesus. He was there. He came in the flesh and he died for me. Great, I'm done. My policy signed on the dotted line that the minimum has been required and has been paid. But that's not the fullness. God wants us to walk into the more that He has for us. And we look often to the external aspects and things we want to sort of perform our way into God's presence. But actually, if we walk in God's grace, His power, His presence, it actually empowers us to increase. God has more for you and me. He has more for us than just the little bit we're experiencing. And so when we embrace grace, it is what empowers us to dwell in God's comfort and to experience God's love and goodness. It's the dwelling place. It says that we enter into His throne room of grace to obtain mercy and to find grace. What does that mean? We enter in with boldness. Now, because of what Jesus has done, I can come into God's presence at any moment. Friends, I don't know if you experience this sometimes. I've had moments in my life when I was so tempted to just do stuff that I'm not supposed to do. And in that moment, I'm feeling so overwhelmed with this pressure to give into my flesh. And in an instant, if I just say the name of Jesus, and I say, Lord, I need your grace to empower me right now. It's amazing how things just shift. I don't know. It's like I get transferred literally from darkness into light in an instant. The lights get switched on. And I'm like, how does that work? Because God has never left you and me. We think when we're sinning, when we're rebelling, when we're moving further away from God, that somehow He's further away. But let me tell you, God is everywhere by His Spirit. That's why Jesus not only died and was risen, but also ascended into heaven, sending us the Holy Spirit, that up until that point, the risen Christ could only be in one place at one time when He had His glorified body. But when He ascended and sent His Spirit, we can now experience Him at every place and every moment. His presence is the same everywhere. I've had the privilege of traveling to Durban. You know, God's presence is there. I've been into Europe. God's presence is in Finland, Helsinki, there at the top, close to Russia. His presence is in Los Angeles, in Redding, California, at Bethel. I wanted to say it to you. The presence of God at Bethel is the same as everywhere else. It's the same. We have access to come into His throne room, friends. That should blow our minds. But what happens is, friends, we diminish it. We diminish it. We say, ach ja, but I know this, man. But are we really living it? Are you drinking from God's presence? Are you coming into His presence saying, Lord, fill me again. Expand my ability to understand and experience You. Because what we do, friends, what I've realized, is when I take for granted God's grace and His presence, what I tend to then do is I slip back into legalism. I want to say, okay, am I doing enough again? Oh, am I praying enough? Am I doing all the right stuff? That's our temptation. But I want us to know that in Romans chapter 8, verse 2, it says, for the law of the Spirit of life has set you free in Christ Jesus from the law of sin and death. The letter kills, friends. But Christ gives life. You and I have life in God. And we can experience that. When we think about the external aspects we want to put on, our lives should certainly reflect that something's happened. Many of us enjoy living as undercover Christians. I'm just never, ever going to let anybody know. Because if they know, I might be persecuted or called out. Hey, you say he's a Christian. What you doing? But I believe that if we are able to just live more authentically, not as I'm a sinner, saved by grace, so therefore I can sort of, you know, I'm trying my best here. No, we're not trying our best here. We've now been placed in Christ. The life of God now flows in us. And so when you and I experience trials and challenges in our lives, it doesn't give us an excuse. Grace doesn't give us an excuse to continue to sin. But it does give each of us the ability and the opportunity to reflect to others, saying that even though at this point in time I'm not 100% like Jesus yet, there's aspects of my life that need to be transformed. My mind needs to be renewed. I need to find freedom in certain aspects of my life. And when I share, can I encourage you? I found that when I share with somebody that hasn't accepted Christ yet, when I share with them the fact that I'm still struggling, they actually are more open to God. That's why I feel like so many atheists around the world are not keen. Because they say, what they look at is, oh, these Christians, they're perfect. But look at how they live. This is what they say they want to do, but this is how they live. Because they're looking and pointing fingers at people. Instead of realizing, friends, that we are saved by grace. God's grace empowers us. And if we then sin and fall short, we have a high priest that intercedes on our behalf. We have the Holy Spirit that empowers us to live a life that we cannot live in our own strength. That is a powerful reality. And that's what Jesus rose from the dead for, so that you and I would have access to the Father, a relationship with Him. And so as I close, friends, I really do believe that God wants us to shift in our understanding. I don't want us to live under the law, thinking that if I do stuff on the outside, that somehow that's going to justify me. I also don't want to continue to sin just because, well, let, you know, okay, sera, sera, let whatever will be, will be. No, I'm living with the understanding that if I can enter into God's presence, His grace empowers me to obtain mercy. What is that mercy? Mercy is forgiveness. It's the empowerment. It's actually being set free from my unrighteousness. But then grace empowers me to live differently. So as I experience God's riches, all of His glorious, wonderful gifts and love and goodness that's available to me, as I drink from that on a daily basis, you and I experience God's love and goodness in increasing measure. Can we stand together as I pray for us? Holy Spirit, I really want to just pray for each of us, Lord. I know for so many of us, even those of us that are watching online, I want to encourage us to really open our hearts right now to Jesus. Holy Spirit, we know that You are with us. You are available right now. There's nothing we can do to get any closer to You. You've paid the full price. But Jesus, in this moment, I want to set people free from condemnation. I want to set people free from performance. I want to set people free from slave mentality. That we would no longer walk in fear, but now walk by faith. That Your perfect love would flood our hearts. And Lord, that we would come to experience You. And so I want to ask You, if there's some things you need to give to God, you need to say, Lord, forgive me for this, Lord. I want to obtain that mercy. I'm coming boldly into Your throne room. I know I don't feel like I deserve it, but I'm coming in, Lord. Holy Spirit, set me free from this. Maybe You can even name it by name. That one thing that You've, or two things, or 10 things even. Whatever you feel has been an hindrance between you and God, give it to Jesus right now. Lord, I thank You that You have put to death those things. Those things now are no longer alive in us. Thank You, Lord, that You now give us new life, a resurrection life, a life that's the fullness of You. And by Your grace, Lord, I pray that You would expand our hearts, that we would be able to experience more of You, that we would love You and enjoy You because You are good. You're a good Father. We can call out to You, Abba Father, our one and only love. The one we look to, the one that we accept, the one that we can come into Your presence, finding comfort and love in Jesus' name.